All right, let's pray. Father, we just come before you today. We thank you for all your blessings. We thank you for watching over us. We thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for the breath that we have in our lungs and all that you've done for us. Father, we know that you're our creator, our sustainer, and we just give you glory, honor. Let's do your name, Father. You are so good and you're so kind. You're so merciful. Thank you for the traveling mercies for everyone. Just thank you for being in fellowship, in faith with people who are moving on the path to the kingdom. And we just praise you and we thank you today in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Hope you're all doing well. We're so thankful to be here for the weekend with the youth. So from Shalom Assembly and everyone there, we bring our greetings and just appreciate that there's so many assemblies and so many people around the earth that are serving Yahweh. And I always like to acknowledge that, when we were young, it seemed like there were only like three main assemblies in our little network of people. And, you know, as time goes on, now there's so many little fellowships, so many people that are stepping up in leadership positions and moving our faith forward. And they're sending this message that I think so many people think is so new. It's actually just going back to what was written from creation on by the Father. And I appreciate being in the midst of like-minded people of faith. So for Elise and I and all the crew from Shalom Assembly, thank you so much for hosting this and all the work that went into making it a great event, and I'm sure it's going to continue that way. All right, well, you know what? It all started when you were young, very young, as a matter of fact. Your mom or your dad told you to do something you really wanted to do. They told you no to something you really wanted to do. And your instincts just kicked in and told you to throw yourself down on the ground and start flailing your arms and legs and add some screaming. All in a desperate attempt to get your own way. That may have been your first real breakdown. Some of you might even remember it. Well, if you grew up in a house like mine, there was no mystery as to what would happen next. Are you with me? Although it seems in each of my siblings' case, not mine, of course, I would never act like that. My mom would suggest that we get up, and if we didn't, she had a little switch. I think she must have had them in her back pockets all the time, because she always had one close. And she would say, when you get up, stop all of that, then I'll stop switching your hind end. Voila, in about 2 minutes, we went from breakdown to breakthrough. Because we wanted that to stop. Now, that's a funny story, I think, because when you're two or three, that's pretty acceptable behavior. But what about the same behavior when someone's 16? We have a lot of youth represented here. Or what about when somebody's 21? What about when someone's about 32? Or 55. It's a good number. What about when somebody acts like that in a marriage when they don't get their own way? Or at work when there's something crazy going on and everybody's got an opinion about how it should be done? Or even in the assembly among our friends of faith when we don't think the leadership or we don't think other people are doing what they're supposed to be, and it's our desire for our own way that so often makes us look out at others and say, it's somebody else's fault, somebody's to blame, and this is all upon me because of someone else. And I would suggest today that as we go along, I'd like to remind everyone that when we're given a message and we're receiving a message, the message is for you. So often I'll hear somebody say, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this message. It'd be so good if they could just receive this, right? Are you with me? So why don't you look at your neighbor and say, this message is for you specifically. I could add some few things on that, like, you know, stiff-necked Israelite, but we won't go there. We won't devolve that far. You know, many times I think when we're looking for a breakthrough, it seems like in the battle, we're just having a breakdown.
Have you ever gotten involved in a certain problem thinking, oh, I know just how to solve this problem, and you begin to work your little thing that you do into that problem, and then all of a sudden you thought it was going to be easy, and you find out you're now in a pretty strong battle, and it's just not going your way, and you're thinking to yourself, breakthrough, I don't even know how to break down right with this deal. Sometimes the harder we try, the more we feel like it's just not going to work, or we're stuck and not moving forward. I believe this is especially true of our youth and young adults. Today, anxiety is at an all-time high. Would you agree? But here's the problem. One of the biggest troubles with that is that not that we have anxiety, because anxiety has been for every person that's ever breathed. The trouble with anxiety today is that it becomes a signal to stop. For some reason, we've decided that when we have anxiety, the best thing we could do is just freeze and like begin to think about that over and over and over, which actually causes more anxiety and more troubles. And it's a cycle or a pattern that's repeated and repeated and repeated. But why? Why is it a signal to shut down? Why can't it be a signal when we have anxiety to press in and realize that we all have anxiety? And it's actually an indication that we need to build our trust in Yahweh, that He created us to still move forward in spite of our anxiety. Would you agree? That's breakdown to breakthrough. I appreciate what Brother Jose said about seeds and growing. And in this life, I believe the closer I get to agriculture, as we've lived in Illinois, I've gotten to watch the corn grow because we have cornfields all around us. And each spring, they'll be out there, you know, planting the seeds that are going to become, you know, today's corn is way taller than it used to be because of what they put in it. But it'll grow up. And as I drive by it, you know, if we just take it once a week, I'll see that it grows. But there's no day I go out there and look at the plant and say, oh, I see it growing. Right? Have you? Or for instance, we think the plant's not doing it right. And so have you ever seen anybody go out and yell at the plant as it's coming up? You're not growing fast enough. What's wrong with you? Right? But when we see that seed gets planted in, and I would suggest to you as we start that you and I, we have kingdom seeds planted in us. We've been talking about this a lot at our fellowship because I believe that we need to realize who we are and that the Father has planted inside of us seeds that need to grow, but they'll only grow if we water them and if we put the word of Yahweh on top of them in our lives. And so often it is we find ourselves in a hard spot of the road, but we haven't cultivated or taken time to cultivate a few basic skills that we need to get us through. The first one of those skills is to acknowledge that Yahweh is the source of everything. And through Yahshua, He's already declared over your life that you are an overcomer. And that your life is going to be one of finding yourself in a breakdown or a problem. And your job is to acknowledge Him, to trust in Him that He has your best interests in mind and move forward with that. A couple of the seeds that I think we all have planted inside of us is a seed of worship. We were created and born to worship Yahweh. 100%. And we see this misaligned all the time, and people will find all kinds of things out there to worship around them. They'll even look for them. And the scripture says that we come up with all kinds of devices that sort of replace Yahweh. But everybody has a desire to worship, and you will worship something. What's it going to be? Are you determined? Have you made up your mind about that? I believe that there's a seed of significance that's put inside of us, not a prideful significance of who we could or what we can do or what we alone can accomplish, but a seed of significance, which means that you were put here with a purpose. And there's something uniquely given by the Creator for you to share with the world around you. And your job, just like a seed planted in the ground, is to cultivate that and try to become that. And the young people are all here for this weekend. And so often it's our habit to say that it's the future assembly. But I would suggest to you that as I've thought about that a little more deeply is that the youth are the assembly of right now. Because right now they actually represent all of our families. They are the little plants that are around our table or growing bigger plants. And they're the ones that represent us when they're out in the community. And they're the ones that represent. And so today I would urge you that you're not just the future you. You're the you you are right now. And you can have a great influence on those around you. I would suggest that as young people, you can minister to your fellow young people sometimes much more than a guy with gray hair. There's a time for both, but out in a conversation at work or out in school, when you're with your friends, you really are the best recruiting tool that we have to be invited to a fellowship. And maybe it's time for some of those roles for us to step into them and realize that that's one of our purposes, is to spread the word of Yahweh to everybody around us. So I don't think you're of the future. I think you're of the right now. If you have your scriptures, you can turn over to James chapter 1. We're going to read a few verses. James chapter 1. I want to talk about that seed just a little bit more. Verse 21 to 25. And I would suggest, a few of us after our fellowship about a year ago decided to memorize James chapter 1. And I believe that this chapter is so great. And I would encourage you that you can memorize this chapter and it'll do you good. You'll see it show up in all places in life. But James chapter 1, verses 21 and 25 says this. It says, "So rid yourselves of all vulgarity and obvious evil and receive meekly the word implanted in you that can save your lives." I would suggest that that seed has always been present from your birth because of the one who created you. He planted that in you, and that's exactly what it says. Receive meekly the word implanted in you that can save your lives. Don't deceive yourselves by only hearing what the word says, but do it. For whoever hears the word but doesn't do what it says, is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, who looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what he looks like. But if a person looks closely into the perfect Torah, which gives freedom, and continues becoming not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work it requires, then he will be blessed in what he does. That's a great promise, you know, for you and I. It's a great reason to do the right thing. You know, it's always the right time to do the right thing. Always. Yahweh has called us to become overcomers and live a victorious life. Being an overcomer, however, is a continual process. It doesn't just happen once. It continues. It doesn't just happen because you say that you are an overcomer. There's work that needs to be done to make that happen. Some of you believed, like I think I did when I was younger, that after you decided to commit your life to the Father, that life was going to be somehow easy. Right? Everything was just going to go, and you're just going to start working out by faith, and I mean, you're not going to have any problems. You're going to have the answer to everything. You're just going to know what to do. Well, that myth is pretty soon erased if you're living, you know, if you're breathing. But the truth is, when you make a commitment to follow the Father, you're starting on a journey. You're starting on a journey that's going to be difficult. Discipline in your life will grow you spiritually, but it's so hard. There's a lot of hard work and, I would suggest to you, frustration to staying on this path. Would you agree? Yeah? You get pressed into a corner with your faith. Happens all the time. And you think, why am I in the middle of this battle? I've seen people who start a ministry. And they're on fire to start some type of ministry. Let's say it's a marriage ministry. They get a word from the Father. They get a desire to be working in the congregation or working with people or helping marriages. And then they begin to go do that work. And let me tell you something. Sometimes that work has problems. Sometimes when you get involved with people, they begin to unburden themselves with what they're carrying. That becomes very difficult. And sometimes when you give them good advice, they'll look at you and say, "You're crazy." Have you ever had that happen before? You know that somebody could just use a little bit of advice, a little word, and if they just put that in their life, it would just work out so good, but they won't do it because they think somebody else or something else is the problem. Pretty soon you begin to think of that great purpose you intended, and you realize that it comes with a lot of trials and a lot of problems on the way. But hey, that's okay. Check it out. You need problems. You don't just accept them. You need them. James, in the first verses, where we are, says this. It's Yaakov is the book, actually. His name was Yaakov. I try to get myself to say that. Yaakov, a slave of Yahweh, verse 1, and of the master Yahshua, the Messiah, to the 12 tribes in the diaspora, shalom, regarded all as joy, my brothers, when you face various kinds of temptations. For you know that the testing of your faith, of your trust, produces perseverance. But let perseverance do its complete work, so that you may be complete and whole, lacking in nothing. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask Yahweh, who gives generously to all and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Produces perseverance. So what are these? Let's just say that again, right? My brethren, consider it all joy when you go through various trials, so many problems. Have you ever said, hallelujah for the problem? I'm so glad I have this problem in my life right now. Smiling. It's counter-human, isn't it? A bit. But let's just diagnose it a little bit deeper. What would happen if, when you got to a great problem that you were having a hard time with, you actually said, you know, I just need to be joyful. I think I'm going to break out a little raise a hallelujah right now. Does that seem practical? No? Yes? It does? It seems elusive, I think, in reality. But here's the thing. Joy in problems actually opens up a few doors for you. But one of the things that happens when you have problems is it produces, again, I want to tell you, okay, so if we're talking about a fruit tree, we're talking about you plant a seed, it grows up after 5 years, you can have the fruit of that tree. And that tree is going to bear apples if it works in the ground really well. Everything is normal. And you're going to be able to go and you're going to be able to reap all of the produce off of that apple tree. You're going to bring apples into your house. So here's the thing. Trials are actually producing something inside of you that's necessary for you. And we look at problems like we don't want any. But here's what I would also say is that if you don't have a problem, you're not a candidate for a miracle. Because it's when you need something that you can't get yourself that you begin to say, okay, what's going on here? And outside of yourself, the Father steps into that and he says, okay, remember the plant? I don't see you growing. Sometimes when you have problems, I don't think you see you growing. And as you're growing up and going through different stages in your childhood and different stages in adolescence, I believe there's things that are happening inside of you, but we're not looking at it as if it's producing some good work in us. We're just looking at it like, I don't really want to go through this. I think this is dumb. I didn't ask for all this. You ever got to a problem? I didn't ask for this problem, but it's here anyway. So let me ask you a question. On a real level of like, what are you going to do tomorrow when you have a problem? Can you be joyful about a problem? Anybody here have a problem as we're talking about this? All right. So if you didn't raise your hand and you don't have a problem, I think we'll later call you up here. We'll have the elders anoint you so that Yahweh will put a problem in your life so that you have a way to get a miracle. Because if you don't have no problems, there's no miracle. And I believe that we look at our problems the wrong way. Now, I want to tell you just a little personally. As I've read this verse, it's been working in my heart for about a year. I memorized this chapter, like I said, along with some other people, both young and old at our fellowship. And I began to think about every time I had a problem, why do I worry? And why am I so thinking sometimes that it's just not going to work out the way I want it to? But here's the thing. When you actually look at it and you say to yourself, okay, listen, this is coming. I need to be joyful. Let me tell you what happens in your heart and in your life. Think about a problem that you have right now. And think of the Father singing over you and reminding you that Yahshua has come into your life, the greatest gift for each one of us of all time. And because you have a problem, because you're his child, And he wants you to do well. It's his will that none perish, actually. It's his will that you step in to the problem and you bring your best game. And I'm going to tell you that being joyful is bringing your best game. Being fearful, being worried, and thinking that it's not going to work out, that's when you actually close down the possibilities that could be about how to solve that problem. So joy in your life actually will open up your heart. You know, it says, be still and know that I am Yahweh. Let me tell you about the power of a pause. The power of a pause is that when you realize that you have some big thing or some big weight over the top of you, and you hear it, the first reaction is, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And then your mind begins to just race about things. And depending on the severity of the problem, or depending on the severity of the trial, you can go, have you ever had a problem that like sent you into a spin for 3 or 4 days? 3 or 4 months? Maybe a year? Yeah, some of them are pretty tough. Some of them are pretty deep. And we also know that life is going to bring these problems into your view. So how are you going to deal with them? And I'm suggesting that this verse is really transformative if you can catch joy in your problems. And the younger you can catch it, the more efficient you'll be about training yourself to know that you can overcome anything that Satan, our greatest enemy, or any of the people around us put on us. You can overcome it. If you go into it with that mindset, if you can actually stand up and declare, I'm considering this all joy because I know something is being produced by the testing of my faith. My faith is being tested, but in this test, there's something being produced that the Father's given me, and I trust him, and I trust that process. You know, you can become whole. It says, perseverance, let it finish its work so that you can be complete and whole. Right? It's a process that happens inside of your trial that actually produces fruit inside of you even when you don't know that it's growing. But it begins the necessary changes that will do a work in you to know that you are exactly what Yahshua said, an overcomer. You know, I converted part of my yard at my house. There was a flower garden there and we needed some parking spaces, so we took all the flowers out. Got all the trees, that little ornate trees, and took everything out. Then I put in some gravel, and the gravel has a packed rock gravel. And so I put it in, and I packed it all down, and then it rained on it, and it's really hard. I mean, even when I went out with a shovel to dig it, it was, like, tough to dig in. One morning, I came out, and my son Adam and my son Josh parked their car there, and Adam's car was there, and something was underneath his car. And I thought, well, what did it blow in? It looks like a plant or a flower. It looks like something crazy. And I was like, but I don't know of anything that would blow in there. So I went over and I looked under his car and I saw two tulips underneath his car that had come up through the gravel. They were planted in good soil underneath. Obviously there was some water getting there. But I looked at the top of those after I moved the car out of the way and I was like, those plants came up through the gravel. And I'm told to understand that even if you have asphalt put over some particular plants that are very persistent and very tough, they will push the asphalt and that plant will grow up. And when I looked at the top of the plants, because they were only up, I think, that day, they were bruised on top. I could see on there. Before they opened and became a flower, they were very bruised on top. They had a tough time pushing through that. But you know, I think in life, that's exactly how it works. With us, is that there are times when we have to pull something more than we have, more than we bring to the table, right? To get through certain things, and then we're like, I did it. It worked. I trusted Yahweh, and it worked. Nothing stopped those plants. We left two little tulip bulbs in there, and they both sprouted up. I thought it was pretty amazing. We have and will continue to have resistance, i.e. trials and problems of many kinds, but we have to consider it all joy in our mindset. You know, there are times when we can't see a way. Have you ever been in the midst of something and you just can't see how this is going to work out? Anybody ever been there? It's pretty tough, isn't it? A lot of questions, a lot of wondering, a lot of worry. We have a limited vision. You know, last night, Marcus talked a little bit about having a vision, seeing where you are, and then looking across that to see where you want to be, and then what steps are you going to take in the middle of that to see how it's going to work out. Sometimes we have such a limited vision that we just can't see where we need to be, and we just don't know how it's going to work out. I think that this is also one of the game changers in my past. And it's what I have become to trust in my life to guide me in every season. And you know, there's different seasons in life, from young to old. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, many of you know it well. You can go there with me. I'll read it. It says, faith, or your trust in Yahweh as defined, trusting in Yahweh, your faith, is being confident of what we hope for, a hopeful outcome, and convinced about things that we do not see. Otherwise, it wouldn't be faith. It was for this that the scriptures attested the merit of the people of old. In other words, each generation there have been Yahweh's people who have had to prove their faith by stepping out when they couldn't see what was going on. When we find ourselves amid seemingly insurmountable obstacles, our hearts yearn for a breakthrough, a divine intervention that will shatter the chains of limitation, things that limit us, and usher into the fullness of Yahweh's promises. In such moments, we can turn to the powerful breakthrough that the scriptures give us. One of those is verses written in Isaiah 48 that talks, or 43, that talks about Moses. And when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, it says this in chapter 43 of Isaiah, verses 16 through 19. Here is what Yahweh says, who made a way in the sea, a path through the raging waves, who led out chariot and horses, the army in its strength. They lay down, never to rise again, snuffed out and quenched like a wick. Stop dwelling on the past events and brooding over times gone by. I am doing something new. It's springing up. Can't you see it? I am making a road in the desert, rivers in the wasteland. I love that verse. I love the hopeful attitude is that I'm going to make streams in the wasteland. Anybody ever walk through a desert? You guys ever move through a desert? So dry. So there's like, and you're looking for water. It's like, if you know, if we got stuck right here for a little while, this is not going to be good. And yet Yahweh says it's in the wasteland that I'm making rivers. In the desert, as we go through, that's where I'm doing work. I'm making a fruitfulness to things that don't look fruitful. And one of the other things that it says is that don't dwell on past events. You know, so many people are stuck in a crazy cycle of seeing that they didn't measure up to a certain thing. And then they begin to beat themselves up time and time again because of they're not measuring up. And they look back at what their past has given them, and they decide that it's my past that defines me in this moment. And that's not true at all. But it's a lie and it's a myth, and it's a lot of people that get stuck in this particular spot. But he says, don't look back at your past like that. Look at what I'm doing. Look to your maker. Don't put, it's so much anxiety. It's pretty selfish, if you don't mind me stepping in there a little bit. Because here's the problem with anxiety, and I'm not talking about clinical anxiety or chemical, whatever your body has. If there's things that are off, sometimes you have imbalances. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like the modern anxiety that so many are captivated with. And it's really because they're thinking of themselves all the time. And then when they don't feel good, they begin to think more about how they don't feel good. And they begin to think how worthless, or they begin to think of how bad they did it in the past. And they begin to have all these things, and they just continually bombard themselves with these negative things. And they take it all in, and then they come to this point to where they say, I just can't do anything. And that, again, is a myth in your life. If you begin to declare that Yahweh is good, if you begin to declare that he made you a certain way and that you are going through a process of growing and you haven't arrived there, give yourself some grace on that journey to grow up. How many of you that have children, you've given your children some grace when they had a time for a need in that area? Let me tell you about my mom, the one who switched me when I was young. My son, I'll keep his name anonymous, but one of my sons, had done something. And I walked in and my mom was sitting there, and this is, you know, my son was, it's just a few years ago, maybe 10 years or so ago. And she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm about to go whoop my child." We got whoopings when we grew up in Mississippi. That's what I call, you know, little spankings along the way that give us a little encouragement. Anyway, so I said, "I'm going to go give him a spanking." And she's like, "Well, what for?" And I was like, "Well, he did this. It's time." She said, "Well, I don't think you should do that." And I looked at her perplexed, like, who is this woman in front of me? She's never had a problem whipping me or any of my siblings or any of your kids that were around her if they needed it. She's very skilled, very discerning. I looked and I thought, who is this person? But you know what? As we get older, we find the necessity for more grace. In my marriage, I found the necessity for more grace. And by Yahweh's grace, so has my wife to give that gift to me. Grace is a gift not to be mistaken for a pass. Grace is a gift that's given to free you from a past and help you and encourage you to move forward in the right way. And thank Yahweh for people who were praying for me when I was at a low, a person that came up in this faith, but for whatever reasons that happened in my life, sent me to a very bad place. Praise Yahweh for people who were faithful with intercessory prayer that weren't talking to me every day, but they were praying for me because they knew that I needed some grace in my life to grow up. And for you, that's a gift that you can give someone else, because there are many people around us that need a little grace and a little intercessory prayer so that they can grow up and find out their purpose in Yahweh. Praise Yahweh for his mercy and his favor. May we be able to receive it and give it as needed. But when the children of Israel stood at that moment that was talked about in that scripture, I want to set up the scenario in a little more descriptive way. As they had the Egyptian army on this side, their enemy, and they had the Red Sea on this side. And Yahweh had led them to this particular spot, specifically to this spot. Now, when they looked out, they thought, how are we going to get through the sea? I don't know. They looked this way and they saw the Egyptian army coming after them, behind them, pressing in. And there's no way that if you or I stood in that particular spot that we could have seen the way any more than they did. But when we look back, sometimes we critique them because we know the end of the story and we say, I would have never done that. But you don't know what you would have done until you get pressed into the fire. But here's what I know about that story is that no one foreseen the sea opening until the sea opened and they walked through. No one had foreseen that the sea was going to open and that Israel was going to get to walk through in deliverance, and then the Egyptians were going to pursue them in the midst of that. And that was going to be the last that you saw of them. Like the scripture said, they were snuffed out in a moment. And you know, sometimes we're in the middle of a breakdown and we can't see a breakthrough. But we don't know what Yahweh's doing. And we have to have a little faith, maybe a little bit more faith than we can do for ourselves by pressing in. You know, one of the most important things that you could be is totally honest about exactly who you are and exactly what you're doing. Whatever that means. It's simply this. It's simply nothing more and it's simply nothing less. It's exactly who you are. That scripture that we read in James said this. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, how many of you believe you lack wisdom? One of the things that's great about our Father is it says, if you lack wisdom, that was a lot of hands, by the way. I just want to let everybody know, you're not isolated. There were a lot of hands that came up, and my hand is raised as well, because I believe that the wisdom of Yahweh is the only thing that has brought me to where I am in my life. And praise Yahweh for that. Not that I'm anything special, because it's not that. It's that if you accept Yahweh's wisdom in your life, he will guide your life. If you acknowledge Yahweh in all of your ways, he will direct your paths. That's open to us all. And thank everything for that. Yahweh is so good. So good. And when we acknowledge him, things start happening. His wisdom is great. But here's the thing. Don't ignore Yahweh's wisdom by dishonesty and think that you're going to gain victory. Because that scripture also says, anyone who needs wisdom, you should ask Yahweh, and he gives to each without any reproach. That means he'll give it to you. He said, but don't doubt, because the one who doubts is in a totally different category. That person should not expect anything from Yahweh. So we really do have to acknowledge that Yahweh is, and let me just say this with confidence, Yahweh is exactly who he says he is, and he will be exactly who he needs to be for you and for your situation right now. All he wants is an honest heart. And when you go to him honestly from your heart, he will answer you from his wisdom to direct your life. And that is such a powerful pattern that's available to each one of us. You know, when David was facing Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we'll read a few verses there. This is an amazing story. I think probably we would all resound with Daniel, or with David, when he was going out to meet Goliath. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, 1 Samuel chapter 17, wow, just opened right to that. That's good. It's like it was meant to be. David says a few things, and we get the story of the Goliath that's in front of him, and this whole story about him taunting Israel, and all of these people, these grown men, right? We're not talking about youth. We're talking about grown men who were being defied by someone who was coming in them, and they were a great warrior, and all of the people there were looking at this warrior like it was an insurmountable problem that we can't solve because we don't have anyone here to fight him. And they were like, what are we going to do? And it's like everybody was running around thinking, how are we going to get out of this jam? And we get the whole picture when David comes out. But David says some specific things, and it's in these specific things that I'd like to maybe look at a little bit more and then ask you, how in your life does that work out? In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34, it says this. It says, but David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by the beard and struck him and killed him. Anybody ever grabbed a lion by the beard while tending some wee little lambs? Now think about that. So David has been out in the wilderness now. I want to just like shepherding story. He's a shepherd. And he has these lambs. And the lambs are faced by specific enemies that come against them. And David, as a shepherd, steps in and he says, the bear's coming. What am I going to do? Well, the bear's coming. What are you going to do? Now, David was thinking, back when he was protecting the flock, as his duty as a shepherd to stand in the gap. He could have just let the bear take charge. What's a few lambs? Hey, it's a bear, right? How many of you would run? Or I guess all these videos that I don't know particularly depict real life say stop. Don't do anything when a bear is there. And he'll mosey on. I don't know if I'm giving him that chance. I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you. Receive that for just a joke. Well, hey, I'm just saying to you, if we were in a confrontation with a bear, that'd be a pretty tough spot. If we were in a confrontation with a lion, that would be a pretty tough spot, right? You know, in Kenya, we have the Maasai tribe that's there. And one of their traditions to become a man is that you have to kill a lion. That's still a tradition amongst their tribe. And they don't fear the lion because they know that they have to deal with the lion. Now, here, we don't have a lot of trouble with lions every day in our life. But if you're a shepherd like David was, you have trouble with lions. David did not fear Goliath because he already has been through the battle. He's already built up skills. He's already built up faith in small battles that when he got to this big battle, it was just another one. And he's like, why are you all fearful of someone who stands out there? We serve Yahweh. We serve the creator of the universe. He created Goliath. And he's brought him here today so that his glory would be made known amongst the people of Yahweh. And we know this story. It gets passed down by generation because David pressed in. And it's pressed in upon us because he did exactly what his training brought him to. So one component of you and I about problems is that we have to be trained. One of the biggest trainings, and I don't have time to go into it, but I'd like to suggest it because I'm trying to tell everybody, is emotional regulation. Being in charge of your emotions so that your emotions are not in charge of you. Now, it's great to have emotions. It is terrible to be ruled by emotions. Terrible. Terrible for you to be ruled by anger. Terrible for you to be ruled by frustration. Terrible for you to be ruled by sadness that goes beyond what should be to mourn. It's terrible for you to be ruled by depression. It's terrible. If you don't believe me, ask people who are depressed. They hate it. But the way out of that is to know Yahweh. And I believe that when you know Yahweh, there's just something more that he puts in your life. And like David, he trained. So I don't want to be so angry, as the scripture says, that I sin. I don't want to be so angry that I bring my children to wrath. I don't want to be so angry that my anger is on display and they define me by being an angry person. Because the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that Yahweh is looking for. And anger is just one emotion, but there are so many. But you need to be in charge of your emotions. That's a tool that you need to develop. David was trained. In Psalm 121, many of you know this psalm. And I've identified, as I read this psalm, there's three different hearts that I can sort of evaluate the words of this psalm by. The first heart is a heart of worship. Now, Psalm 121 gives a strong understanding of where our help comes from and who we serve and why we serve him. And it's through a heart of worship that we come up on the stage, or we come to the place where we worship Yahweh, or even in your car when you're dealing with something and you declare that Yahweh is my Elohim, and he is worthy of my praise. He is worthy of my life. He is worthy of all the things that I have in this world. And I'm going to thank him through worship. I'm going to sing his name. Yahweh, you are an awesome Elohim. Yahweh, your might is unsurpassed. Even some of the songs that we're saying today acknowledge that. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing that's more weighty than your counsel on my life. There's nothing better than the greatest work that you've done to bring Yahshua so that we can have salvation. You're worthy. There's another heart that we could read that psalm as we're reading in a minute. It's a heart of wonder at the awesome grandeur as we look around the earth at what Yahweh's created. And then, you know, it's like, how can I doubt? I can go outside and I look at a small leaf and I think to myself, man can't reproduce this. We can't do it. Like, we cannot make life. We can take life and adapt it and adjust it and do all kinds of things, but we can't make it. We do not have that capability. I don't care what they say. We don't, because there's only one author of life, and that's Yahweh. And that's the end of it, right? But his awe, his amazing, his wonder. It says your wonders are amazing from old times. We can also read this psalm in a heart of want. And I think that's what we're talking about today. We need his guidance. This is like the why and the answer. So we can do our training and we can make ourselves joyful through the trial. But if we miss this part, we miss the plan of Yahweh. Because this is the plan. You know, sometimes our intellect, how many of you think sometimes intellect and spiritual maturity are at odds with one another? Now, I've seen some very smart people who miss the Creator so much. As a matter of fact, our college campuses in so many areas that were developed and substantiated on sending missionaries into the field in our own nation, a few of those, like Harvard, do you know where they began? They began as missionary colleges to send ministers out to teach and preach the word, to bring the good news to them. And now today, you can look at them and they're intellectual. They like know a lot of things, but somehow they've outsmarted themselves when it comes to faith and understanding true authority. I'm not against growing and learning. I'm just saying sometimes our human intellect, we try to reason our way into faith. But faith defies reason by being faith. Because faith is things that you can't see. Faith is things that you hope for and long for, but they haven't arrived yet in your life. And I believe that we need to accept that with a whole heart that we can't see. Without Yahweh's vision, we can't see. But in a heart of wonder, or I'm sorry, in a heart of want, if we're having a breakdown and we're looking for a breakthrough, the intensity of our calling out and searching grows deeper and stronger when we're in the real trouble. Like if we are in real trouble, we begin to move towards spiritual behaviors diligently. Are you with me? If we get into real trouble, we begin to start evaluating everything. And faith is one of those things that we may have been neglecting, but now we're going to press in. We're going to start praying like we haven't prayed for a while because we have this pressure coming from the outside and it's beginning to crunch in on our heart. And our intellect has to go from here to like real, authentic. It's the heart that we have that Yahweh wants. And the intensity of our search sometimes is an accumulation of our need. Right? And I've seen so many people, they say there are no atheists in foxholes because they want to preserve their life. So we have to make that like 18-inch movement from our intellect to our heart. As our situation, our life begins to break down, we know that we have need that we can't fill. So Psalm 121 says this, "If I raise my eyes to the hills, from where will my help come? My help comes from Yahweh, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. Your guardian is not asleep. No, the guardian of Israel never slumbers, never sleeps. Yahweh is your guardian. At your right hand, Yahweh provides you with shade. The sun can't strike you during the day, or even the moon at night. Yahweh will guard you against all harm. He will guard your life. Yahweh will guard your coming and your going from now on and forever." Where does my help come from? When we have a great want or we have a great need, where does your help come from? I can clearly tell you, your help comes from Yahweh. Your advocate for all the things against you has already come into this world. And in John, 1 John, it talks about we have an advocate that goes to the Father. And just like in a courtroom, our advocate is saying, "Listen, you know Dwayne's in real trouble, but you know him. You know his heart." Or he says it to Randy or to Jason or to Dan or to anybody that's out there listening. He says, "He's in real trouble. And listen, you know him. You know he was washed. You know that he's made some crazy things. But I'm asking you, release some of that help. He's needing." We have an advocate that stands before the Father. And the advocate in the courtroom is on your side. And he's seeing all the things that you and I have done. And yet he's trying mercifully by his favor to help you be right. To help you be not condemned. And you have to know that Yahshua is your advocate. Because sometimes that's the only thing that will get you through. And I want to tell you, when you're in the midst of the struggle, if you can, praise Yahweh for it. Hallelujah. Praise the power of his name, because he is mighty and powerful to save. His renown is through all of the earth. And although in our country it seems a bit dim, because we've taken all of the traces of him and the word out of our society and the public, and we've replaced it by stupidity, and man's own things. And there's a thing that happens when we do those things. There's an effect on a generation. And there's a generation coming up now that have never read the scriptures or heard a message of salvation. And they need an advocate, either through Yahshua or through you and I, who know him, who have been through the fire. And we declare that we've killed the bear and we've took the lion by the beard and we're not afraid and we're coming. And we're bringing the Father's message with a passion in our heart to let everybody know that we serve Yahweh. And oh yeah, by the way, you can too. And you can have this offering of life for yourself through the power of Yahshua and the salvation that he brings to you and your family. You know, that song that we sang, I love that song by Joshua Aaron. And it begins with what I believe is one of the most critical verses for every family. As for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. Joshua declared those words so long ago, and yet they're so like amazing right now. Every household needs to know that as for me and my house, every man here who's ahead of his household, you need to take it very, very clear direction. As for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. There is no other. As for me and my house, I will see that worship happens in my house. I will see that my children worship Yahweh. I will see that we don't find ourselves going after idols. I will make sure that whatever's in my control, that my wife will be well taken care of, because I'm the one that Yahweh established to provide for her and my family and every wife that's out there. Your job is to build your house and to raise up a generation to serve the one that we call great and mighty. And we need to be on fire to do his will, to submit ourselves to his will and walk in grace and in truth to do what we do. And young people, I encourage you 100%. We serve the same Elohim, the same one that has delivered so many through the fire. As a matter of fact, there's a specific three Hebrews that went straight to the fire because they wouldn't bow down to a man. Here's the thing about it. The fire just is not so hot when you're in the middle of it with the one that looks like the Son of Yahweh. You can pick that up in Daniel. Read about them. But if you go into the fire with the Father and you know that he's got you, the fire is not so hot. It's not so scary. You're going to be all right. You're going to live to see another day. And even if you don't, through the baptism of death, there's a resurrection on the other side of that. And we all have an appointment for that day. No one escapes. But if we profess that Yahweh is over us, then Yahweh bless us in every area of our life. There's a few things, I'll leave you with this, that I think each one of us need to remember about our identity that will continually remind us of who we are, and we know that we are designed to work through the breakdown and get to breakthrough. Because here's the truth of it. You're going to have many breakdowns, and as a pattern, we're not looking for a breakdown or a breakthrough as a destination. Those are events. Because as you break through specific areas and you spiritually grow and mature, there's higher mountains to climb. And there's more growing to get to the next plateau. But that's not where we stay. This life continues to move upward as if we're going to serve the Father and we're moving toward him. And every time you overcome something, you just put another little notch in your belt. Thank the Father for his wisdom. Thank the Father for his deliverance. And you begin to look out and survey, what if we were eager to see what Yahweh was going to do in the midst of our suffering? It would turn the tables. And I'm telling you, most of the time, cancer patients, they'll tell you, sometimes your attitude is one of the most important parts of your healing, because you have to believe that you'll be healed. And I believe as you think in your heart, so it will be. And you have to trust that what Yahweh brings you to, again, he'll bring you through. It's a pattern. It's not a destination. You'll have many breakdowns. You'll also, if you keep following the Father, you'll have many breakthroughs. They function as a pattern to be overcomers and continue to grow toward the kingdom, to keep growing the kingdom seeds that he has placed inside of you and me. If you have a pen, I'm going to read through these quickly, but you can write the scriptures down. And I would suggest that some of you probably need to recite this over your life, maybe in the morning. Marcus suggested last night at one of our breakout sessions that we had, or one of the sessions that we had here, that there are certain things and certain things that we have adopted as our identity, and they're just not. And I would suggest that sometimes if the pressure's coming in on you and you're suffering with some kind of a depression, or you're suffering with some kind of a worth issue or some kind of a confidence issue or some kind of a reason to believe that Yahweh created you and that you're worthy to receive his love and others around you, if you don't feel like that's you, there are some specific things that you need to say over your life that come directly from the word of Yahweh, because the word of Yahweh bears fruit. You and me, when we speak, sometimes mine, it's not bearing fruit because it's not, doesn't have that authority. But the weight of the Father's word over your life has authority. And if you repeat it and you believe it, even when you, if you believe that it can be, even if you don't believe it at the moment, it will change your life. I'd like to suggest just a small list of these. I'll give you the scriptures. Number one is, one of the greatest ways that we can identify ourselves is to be a child of Yahweh. That's from John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. I want you to know that you're alive. The word says you're alive. But I want to go a little bit farther than just alive, because everybody who's breathing isn't really alive. It's those who put their trust and hope specifically in Yahshua that casts off death even in life. But you are alive. You're Messiah's ambassador. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. You've actually been created a masterpiece, and there's no one exactly like you. No one has the exact work that you have to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You were chosen. He picked you to represent him. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. One of my favorites is that I am known. Even before I was born, Yahweh knew me, and he knew you. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. If you're having a trouble like being steady in faith, there's a Psalm 91, verse 1 that says, I am steady. And if you would like to be more steady in faith, you should really read that over. And so it seems a little crazy to take a list and read it every day. Yeah, it does. But it's crazy to be sometimes where we are. But I would rather read a word of encouragement over my life so that I would be changed by it. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, I am free. And that's true. You are free indeed. Isaiah 43, 5, if you struggle with fear, I am fearless. And Yahweh's people are called to be courageous and not fearful, because fearful is such a limiting factor in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says that you and I are a new creation. Imagine that, a new creation. Every day there's a new day, and every day there's a hope for you to do something you haven't done, to be new or renewed again. Again, it's a cycle. Psalm 62, verse 6, I am not shaken. And steady in faith and being able to be not shaken when troubles come to you, but being able to like sit down, see what's going on, action plan to move from here to there. Fail along the way, it's okay, but keep moving. Keep moving. Every failure represents an opportunity to know what you shouldn't do and then to do something different. That's how success comes. It doesn't come because we're victorious every moment. It comes because we try things and we fail, and we try things and we fail. And you knew this when you were like, how old is it when someone walks? 2? Yeah, thank you. Each one of you, when you were like 2, you were getting this because you fell and fell and fell and fell and fell, and finally you stood up and you said, I can walk. Well, you didn't say it. You kind of gibberished it. I'm not shaken. And all-time favorite, Romans 8:37, is you are more than a conqueror. Some of you need to receive that as an identity because you're facing some tough things, but you can conquer because Yeshua said it's true, and I believe it. I would encourage you to gather a list of scriptures that declares who you are in him and read it every day. Speak it every day. You can get in the mirror. You know, in James, it suggested that we look in the mirror, and then some people quickly turn away from what they see. But sometimes it's good to look in the mirror and look at you, and when you're not feeling well, to say, Yahweh said this is who you are. Do you believe him or do you believe you more? It's really simple as that. The word of Yahweh is powerful, and it bears fruit in your life. The characteristics that the word declare over our life is the truth. Our thoughts that contradict these statements of faith are lies. And if we believe that, it's going to lead us to a bad place. But we trust Yahweh with all our heart. And we have faith in him. So we are in him. I want to let you know that Yahweh has planted something amazing inside of you. Each one of you. He's planted something inside of you, and that thing, that good work that he's put inside of you, that he's inspired by the word, and when I say inspired by the word, the more you read the word over your life, memorizing scripture, the more you find purpose and meaning in life. And that thing, that seed that he's given you, as it grows and matures, it will begin to define who you really are and who you were meant to be. You were not meant to be one who shrinks back at pressure. You were actually meant to be one who, with the understanding of who Yahweh is, step in and make the world better. And I believe that everyone who hears this message cannot, it's not really the blessing for you. The gift is for everyone around you. Yeshua's gift wasn't for himself. Yeshua said, I take on all of this that's not mine. I became sin, but he was not sinful. He took your sin, and he took my sin, and he put it on his shoulders, and he says, it's because of this, it's because of my calling that I do this, that the people of Yahweh could overcome, could be saved. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. That is what he's declaring over you and I. Step in. Trust Yahweh. Be humble. And let's move for the kingdom. In Yeshua's name.